let's get going. Lots and lots, too much to cover in 1 hour. We'll do our best for you, as always. Monday, Wednesday, Friday, you can hear Jeff and Erica trying to relate to the human side of this genocide, this global genocide, which Professor Dr. Dolores Cahill in Ireland said unquestionably will lead to the deaths of all who have received even one shot in the next 3 to 5 years. That may have been a conservative forecast on her part. We'll see. There are many things happening which we're going to talk about in a couple of sections tonight. Maybe we'll start out with COVID and do the monkeypox update or do the monkeypox shuffle. It's turning into a carnival act already. We'll get into that. And there's some very important things that Erica has for all of us about that as well. Welcome back, partner. How are you?
Good evening, Jeff. Good to be back. Thank you. Interesting day.
Yeah, it's 98 or 99 degrees right now here. Crazy.
Wow.
And the
sun
is
amazing.
It's over
not
the
even
hill.
Death Valley.
Not yet. Although, if you read the obituaries, it probably looks like it.
Yeah.
Okay, a couple quickies on COVID, then we're going to jump into the monkeypox milieu, or the monkey business sweepstakes, whatever you want. U.S. traffic fatalities. I almost got hit twice last week by very erratic and inconsistent driving habits that were pointed at me. Seriously? One was would have been a broadside right into the driver door, and the other one would have been close to that. But these people out there, and I do suspect that most of them are shot up. They're not reacting normally. Their hand-eye coordination, their judgment, their projection is not what it used to be. You can see people driving either too fast or too slow. Same where you are, correct?
Yeah. I was behind one today, and it inordinately slow, and then hesitating at turns. Uh-huh. They almost appear to be drunk, but you know this is the middle of the day, and
right.
I don't know who was driving, but I mean there was a whole line of traffic behind this person. You know, it was local; it was not on the highway, just local traffic. But you know, right. 10 miles an hour under the speed limit and hesitating at turns and.
And ultimately, crashing many of them. The number of traffic deaths in this country has just gone into orbit in the last 2 years. Highest level in decades. And it used to be around 45,000 dead a year, 3+ million injured every year on the highways and roads, freeways, interstates, byways, alleys, you name it, in this country, which is an extraordinary number, but now it's apparently getting even higher. And some people don't look at this for what it is. You have an extraordinary increase in fatalities of vehicle crashes, and you have an extraordinary increase in the number who have taken a deadly vaccination, which we know has severe neuropathic and neurotropic results for most people. Fatalities in multi-vehicle crashes in cities and roads around the country up 16% in the last 2 years. For folks 65 and older, vehicle deaths rose 14%. Pedestrian fatalities, those went up 13%, including all daytime deaths. Even motorcycle deaths went up 9%. Bicycles up 5%. So when you have about 270 million, this is the figure that's pushed around, Americans having been injected with this death weapon, it's a bioweapon, you have to start thinking, what's going on? Their blood is full of billions, if not trillions, ultimately, of spike proteins. Some sorts of nanoparticles are mentioned often, which result in a whole panorama of terrible diseases and disabilities, if not death. So you've got people who are impaired who really should take themselves off the roads. They should figure this out and stop, but they're not.
Well, I think one of the problems is when you're impaired, a lot of times you don't know you're impaired until you have an accident.
Exactly. 43,000 Americans died in 2021. That's come way up. It was up in the high 30s for a while. It's a 16-year high last year, up 10% from 2020. So, yes, vaccidents are quite real. People who are impaired driving, quite real. And you really need to be careful out there. Give extra distance. That's the real secret. Keep enough distance between you. Don't depend on your reflexes. Understand that people are driving now that really shouldn't be. In many, many cases, they should not be driving. Okay, so there's your vaccinants story and update. We'll be tracking this as well. And another one just came in today. A 9-year-old with no pre-existing health conditions whatsoever died 2 weeks after she got her Pfizer shot. So it's just, it's non-stop. Little children, little innocent children. You saw one today.
Tell us about that. I was at the local Walgreens, and this is not a particularly busy store, which makes it, you know, nice. You can get in and get out fast. And there was one customer in front of me. It was a middle-aged woman with a young daughter. I would say the daughter was about 5. And it's hot, so they were dressed in shorts, and they both had sleeveless shirts on. And the little girl, I had a pair of sunglasses on. I think she was probably 5, no older than 5.
Yeah.
And then
you said
looked down, and I thought she was cute, and I was admiring her, you know, kind of sassiness with her sunglasses and looking cool. And then I noticed she had a red Band-Aid on her shoulder with a W on it for Walgreens, and I realized the mother had just come from out back where she'd had the child vaccinated for the bioweapon. Call it what it is.
Yeah. Yeah, sickening, sad. And I many, many years ago would talk on this program about the sanctity of childhood and innocence and all of that. And it has been destroyed, all but destroyed. Now, there are some good parents out there and some good communities who are watching and protecting their children and allowing children to be children and to enjoy childhood. There are still some. But unfortunately, it looks to me that the majority has been swept away by the media, propaganda, by fear, you name it, mandates. They're just gone. It's not good to see. That must have been a real heart. I know if I were there, if I had been there with you, I would have gotten very angry.
You would know back.
No, I'm
out of words. I don't even know what to say to these people. Because you know they will be defensive and, hostile.
Of course they will. They're in total denial. They're not ever going to admit they did anything wrong. That woman very likely just murdered her child in slow motion.
Yeah.
With a lot of agony between now and the end of the line when she dies. Agony.
Right.
And how often have you all, and you regulars know that we spend a lot of time disclosing the amyloid aspect of the bioweapon. We talked about amyloidosis in great detail, things that now are being shown by John O'Looney, for example, a glass jar full of amyloid clots. They're not blood clots taken from someone's heart and key circulatory arteries and veins. Just hideous. Well, no one's talking about that. Think about it. When was the last time you saw the word amyloid or amyloidosis in a story? I'll bet it's been quite a while. I haven't seen one in weeks. Nothing. They're pushing things off to the side now. Bobby Malone is now leading us from the darkness into the light. You know how he's doing it now? He's now an environmentalist. He's talking about the farmers in the Netherlands and the nitrogen outrage over there and how their farms are being cut down in terms of capacity and production and taken away from them. And all. So he's really a man for all seasons, that guy. I got to hand it to him. All right. I did get a nice card. Let me... I hadn't done much by way of reading things that people send in, but I'm going to read this real quick. It's from an unsigned listener, but you are out there listening, and I really want to acknowledge this, because it's very, very thoughtful. Dear Mr. Rentz, I wish to express my deepest thanks for the programs you do with Erica Kahn. The information you provide is so essential, and I urge you to continue them 3 times a week. My mother was 65 at the time of her death. Both her parents lived to be over 100. She was in perfect health prior to the vaccine. Against my urging, she got double vaxxed with Pfizer, as her employer mandated it. Within 2 days of the second shot, she began feeling very sick. Within a few months, an endless series of maladies hit her, including a sudden onset of heart failure, leukemia, cancer, and tinnitus. These are hallmarks. Remarkably, her doctor then began strongly recommended she get boosted because she was at risk due to her heart failure. No one listened to what I was saying or would possibly entertain that this was vaccine-induced. I have lost my one and only mother to the vaccine. Words cannot describe the pain that has been inflicted upon me. I will never be the same again. At her funeral, family likewise refused to entertain any nexus to the vaccine, despite a number of them also experiencing sudden onset medical conditions and having 2 younger members of our immediate family dying recently. What do we hope to have if the control isn't complete? That we refuse to accept blatant cause and effect unless the media sanctions it. Perhaps even more scary than the vaccine is the realization that so many people are truly living in the matrix, except there is no wire to unplug it. Sadly, I see no coming back from this as a society. The sooner we accept our world is gone, the sooner we can stop being surprised by the ever-quickening descent into the abyss. For my part, I have lost my mother. I will never get another day with her again. Never forget, it's not just the vaccine, it is the entire mind control apparatus that led our loved ones like pigs to the slaughter and convinced them, against all reason, to accept an obvious poison. This is Jonestown applied on a societal level. Please, please continue your work warning people about what is happening. For me, I will continue grieving my loss and regretting every day that I was unable to convince her not to take the shot. So thank you very much, whoever sent that in. I appreciate it. We both do very much, and we will continue. Don't worry about that.
Hear, hear. Yes, thank you. That was very kind.
A lot of good people out there in this audience, and I'm so sorry to hear
yeah. about these losses. But you know, it's there are legions of people in the same situation now. They begged and pleaded with their family or friends, and yeah, I include myself. It's a mind control.
Yeah.
No amount of evidence is going to persuade them when they're brainwashed, essentially.
No, or don't forget peer pressure, because it works as an extension of the mind control.
Because
you get the people themselves back up and reinforce the mind control via peer pressure.
Right.
You just do. It's very shrewd, very clever, and it works virtually every time. Okay, so here we are with monkey business. Lots and lots of monkey business. It has come out of Africa like a freight train, popped up in 4 different continents altogether in new variants. How many variants now do we know?
Oh, it's just a handful. We're talking monkeypox, right? Not COVID.
Yeah.
It's only a couple. There seem to be 2 distinct strains here in the U.S. and a different strain in Europe. But the original 2 that had been stable for eons were in Africa, and they never really left Africa except by accident. There was an outbreak in, was it Minnesota? 10 years ago or something.
I think one of those states up there.
But that was, you know, it did spread, but it was, I guess, quickly contained or burnt itself out because, you know, it's not particularly contagious if, you know, you take precautions. But now it's spreading like wildfire, and there are signatures in this particular strain that indicate it was probably a lab construct.
Kind of like SARS-CoV-2 vaccine.
Quite possibly, yeah.
Think about the spike.
The question is, how did it start? You know, they want us to believe that it started at some festival in the Canary Islands.
Yeah. Yeah. Same thing like the wet market. They always have a kind of a silly premise for it all. Okay. Here's a video. This is a short one. Now, so far, this has primarily affected the homosexual community. Not all. There she cut her off again. She'll be back. And you'll know that these people have already been demanding the vaccine. They want to be taken care of. They don't want their lifestyle messed with. They just want a vaccine. Well, monkeypox is not deadly. There are reportedly two deaths now outside of Africa, I think. I think two deaths so far outside of Africa have been alleged to have been caused by monkeypox. Welcome back.
Thank you.
How was it, your vacation?
Oh, lonely.
Yeah. They want to make sure you get a little time off every program. Oh. Monkeypox, day 11. The title of the video on TikTok. A homosexual man with lesions on his face. Not herpes lesions. These are little, like, pimples. What do you call them?
I guess they're pustules or, you know, pox.
Whatever. Pox.
More of a generic name for it.
Yeah.
But no, this is not shingles. There's this rumor going around that it's shingles. No, it can be distinguished from shingles.
All right. Here's it's a short video. It's 37 seconds long, but you'll hear this is the voice of the homosexual community that has been exposed and is infected with monkeypox.
Guys, this is what monkeypox looks like. I'm here in Los Angeles and my whole body is basically covered, which I'm not going to rest my body, but my hands you can see. And it's not fun. Get the vaccine and stay safe. This is really painful, and I don't even know if I will not have scars for the rest of my life.
Okay, point one, the monkeypox virus is 99.99. Do I sound familiar with this line? 99.99 something survivable. That's the percentage of survivability. If you get this thing. So you're going to survive it. Do you really need a vax? Do you want a vax? Well, in point of fact, if you were listening last time, and we're going to go through this again, you do not want a vax. First of all, you don't know what the hell's in the vax. They're not going to tell you if they don't want to. We've learned that lesson the hard way, haven't we?
So yeah.
Go ahead with, we got two vax candidates. Jynneos, J-Y-N-N-E-O-U-S, and the ACAM, A-C-A-M, 2000. Those are the two candidates. The Jynneos is the one that is currently being administered. It looks very much like Jynneos is going to be essentially useless. And we'll go on from there. Go ahead.
Well, yeah, so as we discussed, the Jynneos is actually a vaccinia virus. It's not monkeypox. It's in the same family as monkeypox, but it's not monkeypox. So it's presumptive to think that it's going to protect against monkeypox. It might, if it were the live, competent, replicating vaccinia virus as the ACAM 2000 is, but it's not. It's not a replicating virus. So the most your body's going to do is make some antibodies against the surface proteins, which are likely different between the two the two viruses. It's vaccinia or monkeypox. They may have different surface proteins, and the antibodies that are generated may or may not be protective. In order to overcome a monkeypox or any of these pox family viruses, you need a competent cell-mediated immunity, T-cell response, interferon, that type of thing. That's your innate immunity. Without that, you're going to have a problem. And everybody now that has taken these gene transfection injections, thinking they were going to be protected against COVID, is deficient in that cell-mediated response now, which is why they're at high risk for opportunistic infections and essentially VADs. So if they encounter monkeypox, they are likely going to have a real problem with it.
In fact, it could become far more virulent in those who have AIDS or VADs. When they have no more functional immunity left, they're going to be in trouble.
Yeah, these people are not going to be in a good situation if they encounter monkeypox. If a person is generating antibodies to this Jynneos, which is vaccinia virus, thinking that they're going to be protected against monkeypox virus, there's no evidence for that. It was never tested for that. The most they did was a neutralizing antibody titer to show that people who were injected with this stuff generated antibodies that would neutralize a virus in a cell culture. That doesn't mean that it's going to work the same way in a live person. And in fact, as with the coronaviruses, it may be a situation where the antibodies are actually deleterious. When you're exposed to monkeypox, it may actually enhance the probability of a widespread systemic infection. Don't know, because it hasn't been tested, but it's approved. And so they're leading people to believe that this monkeypox or this Jynneos vaccine, which is vaccinia virus, is going to protect them from monkeypox. Probably not. And so if we look at the timetable for this war game exercise that took place last March of 2021, at some point they are going to announce that the virus, the monkeypox virus that's circulating, is resistant to the vaccine. Well, it's probably resistant right now, but they're pretending that no, we can give it and it'll offer some protection. And I think they know it won't.
They know. I think they're clearing the Jynneos inventory so the manufacturer can make money. Then they'll say, well, we've got a better one in the ACAM. Let's go with that.
Well, what's going to happen is this thing will spread. It is spreading. And that's going to provide the justification for releasing the ACAM 2000. Now, that's the fully competent, replicating, live vaccinia virus that was heralded as eliminating smallpox. And the reason it was able to do that was because it was closely enough related to smallpox that the immune system had some education or preparation in how to deal with that type of infection. I think I said the other night that there are about 200 different proteins in a pox virus, and your immune system, you know, gets to look at all of them when you're injected with the vaccinia, live vaccinia replicating virus, whereas with this Jynneos thing, it only gets to look at the surface proteins. So it's not going to help you with a cell-mediated immune response. I mean, but the ACAM 2000 could conceivably, probably would, if it's effective against smallpox, it would probably be effective against monkeypox. The caveat, though, is that you need a functioning immune system. Again, these people who have taken this COVID injection are going to be at a real disadvantage because their immune systems are not going to be able to react to this ACAM 2000 without severe side effects, possibly death. I mean, even in healthy people, 30% of the people have really severe reactions to it. I mean, a full-blown infection. They're in they have a fever, they're in bed, they hurt. And one in 175 end up with myocarditis. So there are some risks to that ACAM 2000. when it comes out. And I say when because they just awarded Emergent BioSolutions a $2 billion contract to supply it over the next 10 years.
10?
So,
10 years.
Over the next 10 years, yes.
They're expecting it to become, or they're going to make it endemic, sounds like.
It sounds like it, yes. So, I, you know, it's not hard to predict where this is going.
No, we've kind of been through it before. Same kind of percentage of survivability, too, as the alleged terrible COVID vax, which, remember, was hitting people who were still immune competent. Now we've got 270 million Americans, and Europeans, you people, too. Same percentage, probably 75-80%. I think it's over 95 in Ireland. And you're no longer immune competent. So when you get whatever it is that's going around out there, you're going to get real sick. And that's the downside.
Well, yeah, I mean, the key here is and you can read this in the literature, and I think we posted something Monday. Somebody had posted this on Twitter or something a while back, that yeah, if the interferon response is lacking in people, that's going to be a real problem for monkeypox. And then you know the T cell immunity also, which is your cell mediated. It's when a pathogen gets inside a cell, you need your T cells to identify that infected cell and either wall it off or kill it essentially, in order to curtail the infection. This has the potential to be very, very bad.
Oh, they could, sure. Because they're feeding it now, so to speak, to a populace that has, in, what, 80% of the cases, been immunologically destroyed or severely compromised. So here you go. Now look under guests, Jeff and Erica, look at the last link. There are four links under there. What happens when the ACAM 2000 smallpox vaccine, in quotes, administered in an immune-compromised person? Should be to an immune-compromised person. Click on that. The same person. You got the shot, and you can track it. There's six pictures, A, B, C, D, and E, F. So he had a hell of a bad reaction. We don't know if this person was immune compromised. Was he shot up with the COVID?
Yeah, I read the study. It turns out, yes, he... Well, that's a good question. When they did the workup on him, he got the shot, and about 2 weeks later, this thing really started to fester, this place where they introduced the virus vaccine. And became very, very ill, was hospitalized, and they did all of his blood work. They discovered that he did have, was it leukemia or lymphoma? Some blood-borne
cancer. He already had cancer.
So, or he was precancerous or something, and this was a challenge to his immune system. I don't know. I mean, maybe.
Right. Well,
he might have had it, and it was undiagnosed.
That he was shot up.
But he was immune compromised, probably due to this cancer, this undiagnosed cancer, and this thing caused him a real problem. So one of the prerequisites for getting the ACAM 2000 is they recommend being tested for HIV before anyone administers this. And
now that's cute. That's where, well, we've been following this. That's where all those HIV test kits are going to come in real handy.
How about that?
Look online, and we talked about this several months ago. Look up HIV test kits or HIV home test kits. You'll see a ton of them. So the word was out, and these people produced, marketed, packaged. They're all ready to go.
They're ready to go.
So what a coincidence. Incredible.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. All right, so the monkeypox is out of the bottle. They are spreading it, and the people are spreading it, especially the homosexual community is spreading it. And it's going to go into the general populace with, just watch where it goes. You can all figure this out. Don't get the shot. You don't need it. Don't get any needles for the rest of your life, and you'll have a chance to stay healthy.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? But don't get Jynneos or ACAM. Don't panic about the monkey business. We've got two deaths reported outside of Africa so far. And how seriously do you take that? Who do you trust anymore?
Right.
Think
right.
about it. Do we trust yep. Pfizer? Do we trust Moderna? Do we trust Joe Biden? Do we trust Tony Fauci? Do we trust Debbie Birx? Who do you trust? Nobody. You trust your inner voice that is usually separated from you at a very early age. Reconnect to that. It's called instinct, intuition. And if that doesn't help you, talk to some intelligent people or listen to this program. We will never lie to you, ever.
Now, these people have a legacy of lying now. I mean, the fact that anybody would line up and take another injection on blind faith,
right?
It's mind-boggling.
Dumb, deaf.
No, because, I mean, we
blind.
Don't. We nobody knows what's in these injections that these people are getting, thinking it's a vaccine, that this monkeypox or
they don't have to go through
thing.
Testing anymore.
No.
They've been given a free ride by the feds. They don't have to do 10 years of testing and evaluation. They can just go EUA with almost anything.
I read something today. This is as of July 29. That's today. This was on the CDC or FDA website for TPOXX. Now, TPOXX is the oral medication. It can also be administered intravenously to treat monkeypox or smallpox, any of these pox viruses. So it's a small drug molecule. It can be given as a capsule or IV. And it's supposed to inhibit the formation of the virus. Once it's in you, it can prevent the virus from replicating. But this is what they said. The U.S. FDA confirmed on July 29, 2022, that's today, that there is currently no human data demonstrating the efficacy of TPOXX for the treatment of monkeypox or the safety and pharmacokinetic profile.
Wow. You can't make this stuff up. It's too crazy. It's too crazy.
Maybe it works, maybe it doesn't. We're still collecting data.
But they'll get their EUA. Watch. Whatever
oh,
they
it's
want.
Approved. It's approved.
It didn't even have to go EUA?
Well, this thing has been in development for a number of years. The press release
they
came out, I don't know,
it.
Was it a month ago? 2 months ago?
Yeah, it was a while ago. Yeah, so it's approved. Okay.
That's the SIGA Technologies, SIGA, SIGA Technologies.
Mm-hmm. All right, what's this about? A spike protein carrying horsepox virus may be the next SARS-CoV-2 vaccine, in quotes. Spike-carrying horsepox virus.
You know, another one of these lab creations, courtesy of this virologist, goes by the name of Dr. David Evans, University of Alberta. And he is credited, is renowned, rather, for chemically synthesizing a extinct horsepox virus back in 2017.
Okay, then let me say one thing. What you just heard Erica say was this scientist created a virus from scratch. Okay?
Yes.
Got it? This is really important. For those of you who don't believe in viruses, this man created one from scratch. Just for the heck
yes,
of it.
Yes, and it could replicate and infect and
yep.
do everything that we know viruses can do. But the remarkable thing was that we are at the point now where we can sequence and then reproduce the virus without having the actual virus. If you know the recipe,
you can
chemically synthesize it.
Yeah.
And which opens the doors for all kinds of designer viruses. You don't even have to limit yourself to the ones that we've identified. You can create your own. So it was interesting that, okay, so this Dr. David Evans and his team at the University of Alberta is working with Tonix Pharmaceuticals in New York, T-O-N-I-X, and they are hoping to bring to market a sort of chimeric virus that's a horsepox virus. Or maybe it's a chimera vaccinia and horsepox, but in the orthopox family. And it's going to be bearing the infamous spike protein. And it's going to be a live replicating virus. They're going to administer it the same way they would the ACAM2000. You do a make the scarification.
So this is another alleged vaccine, but they're using a live, newly created, lab-created virus. And gosh, you can't create a virus without a spike protein in there, can you? So they stuck one in there.
Frightening. Absolutely frightening. Because, you know, we know that this vaccinia, the ACAM2000, being fully competent, live, can replicate and spread. They tell people specifically you need to cover that vaccination site so that you're not shedding your infectious skin cells into the environment, and don't touch any other part of your body or else it's going to go there too. So now we have the prospect of this carrying a spike protein, a toxic, lethal spike protein.
Which has more ways of killing people than we have been able to present to all of you yet. There are things that we know about that we strongly suspect are yet new pathways that will lead to death of the human organism. This spike protein, as Dr. Chetty said, is the most evil, deadly creation that man has ever, or woman, has ever done.
So I think that the spike protein is the antigen of choice in these vaccines is crazy.
Oh, that's ludicrous. Ludicrous. I mean,
that's the most hypervariable part of the virus also, the part that's most apt to mutate due to selective pressure. It can change. It can change, you know, many of its features to evade whatever it is that's trying to neutralize it.
I'm surprised they didn't call it an adjuvant. Nothing would surprise me, I guess, anymore. I shouldn't be surprised. You never know.
But, you know, is that there's some misconception that making antibodies against the spike protein is somehow beneficial. It's not. That's now fairly accepted. When you make antibodies against it, you invite it. You invite your immune system to engage with it, and that creates another set of problems.
And remember, the spike protein, just to be a little repetitive here over the last year and a half, is created at such a level in the body that we end up with, what did you say, 30 trillion? One figure that the body could produce. So, in other words, you're overwhelmed with it. Your immune system basically only sees spike proteins everywhere it looks. It doesn't see the normal kinds of proteins and other pathogens that the immune system will go after and attack. It just sees spike. So your immune system is disabled from its normal panorama of responsibilities. It's just going after the spike. And the actual components of your immune system, they in turn become disabled, and you're toast. You've got VADs, AIDS. You have no immune function to speak of. None.
Well, and it's further complicated by if the mRNA or the virus, this goes for the virus too, if it ends up infecting a T cell, which it can, then that T cell gets destroyed. And, you know, that's a very critical part of your immune system. I mean, that's why it's like airborne AIDS or HIV. It's the T cells that are getting destroyed, and that's a major, major part of your immune system. And if those are gone, you're wide open for cancers and monkeypox, whatever else.
The one gentleman I've been in touch with, and I hope he's listening perhaps, but we will in time get him on the program. He has 9 friends, he told me, who have taken the shots, and they all have cancer. All of them.
Yeah, the cancers are going crazy.
Yeah. Super explosions of cancers all over the place among those who have taken the injection.
Right.
Not to mention brain prion diseases that are major organ attacks, myo and perio. It just goes on and on. The spike protein is astonishing. And why this guy, Evans, would put that, I guess, you know what? I'll bet he was told, you have to put it on there. You don't stand a chance for approval. That's a possibility. It's just kind of a known unknown that you put it on or you don't go anywhere.
Hard to believe that, you know, they're so clever and talented in being able to create a virus. And by the way, the orthopox viruses are big viruses. They have a complicated genome that's not easy to do. And the fact that he did it successfully is really shocking. I mean, it's really, that takes some talent. So it's hard to believe that knowing all these other intricacies involved with synthetic biology, that he wouldn't also know at this stage of the game.
He knows. They all know.
You don't want to be encoding a virus with a lethal protein.
Unless you want to get approval and make lots of money. Or sell it off to some other big pharma company, you know, for a 10,000% profit and sit back and take your percentage of the sales. Who knows? It's all money in the end. Human life means nothing to these people.
Go ahead. Let's move on.
All right, you done?
Yes.
With that? Okay. Mm-hmm. We've got some really important things to read for you. Again, this is the human aspect of the suffering and the dying of these COVID death shots, these bioweapon horrors. We've got, Erica put a number of them together. Can I read the first one?
Yes.
This one really bothers me. She read it to me yesterday, or I guess it was yesterday. Our friend was hospitalized with COVID. So his 50-year-old son went out and got the vaccine so he could visit his dad in the hospital. Dad recovered in the hospital, and the son died days later. Dad wasn't able to attend the funeral, even though he recovered but was still in quarantine. My neighbor had the shot on a Friday and got sick immediately after and was dead on Sunday morning. My neighbor. Numerous people in the nursing home my friend works at died immediately after getting the shot. Redness at the injection site spread across their chests, and they all passed within a few days. So many stories to tell. I could go on and on. I work in an eye clinic. In my entire 30-year career, I've never seen so many eye issues, including a woman who went blind right after the vaccination. Double vision and so many vision anomalies that I have never seen before. I could go on for hours. So many stories from patients and friends who have lost loved ones. I can't even count them. It's overwhelming and depressing because most of my family took the shot, even after I warned them. I fear for their future and the future of all of humanity. Many sleepless nights over the implications of this evil, anti-human agenda. And that's the truth.
God.
Most everyone who has taken even one shot, we would not be remotely surprised if they were all deceased within the next, I'll say, 2 to 3.5 years, whatever.
If not, knowing what these shots are doing, they're going to have a world of problems.
Okay. All right. Now, we've got two stories about nannies. Remember nannies? People used to hire more nannies to help with the children. So go ahead, Erica. There's two here.
Okay, someone asks, how serious is shedding if my friend works as a nanny for a nine-month-old who was recently vaxxed?
Now, think about that. Hold on. A nanny working, taking care of a nine-month-old baby who was recently vaxxed, okay? Keep that in mind.
First response is, a nine-month-old? Shedding is shedding no matter the age. She's going to be changing diapers and in close physical contact a lot, taking care of the baby. And then, I hate to say it, but this baby is going to have a wide range of problems now. Being the baby's nanny, your friend needs to be aware that her parents will likely want to blame her rather than the vaccine and their own poor decision to inject their child with a known toxin. It might be better to look for another employer.
Or another line of work. Either
yeah.
way. Go ahead with the next one. It's another nanny story.
This is kind of reversal. Very serious. My nanny got vaxxed. I did not know about shedding. My youngest of two got two-year-old got rashes everywhere. It took 3 months to start healing. Now he got rashes back due to the fact I was seeing my vaxxed parents indoor for only an hour. I am only seeing vaxxed people outside and asked my family kindly not to have physical contact with my kids. It is sad it has to be this way, but we need to deal with the health issues, and most important, my kids and I suffer. I wish I knew about shedding earlier. I feel we have been exposed too much. 3 months living together after the injection and to our nanny, and every single exposure now is too much. I am worried about the long-term effects.
See, this is bad, dear friends, and you all know it. But these stories are not even a visible fleck on an elephant compared to what's going on out there. They're just a few to give you an idea of the dynamics here. All right, we have just about 3 minutes. So which ones of these left should we hit?
Let's do the pets.
Okay. All right, pets. Pets number one. So, not sure what to make of this, and I haven't come across many people mentioning it, at least not in my circle of family and friends. My ex had to put both the Labs, Labrador Retrievers, down within 4 months of one another. One, heart failure, and second, loss of mobility and bodily functions. Granted, both were 12 years old, but as active as Labs could be. Still did the in and out of the pool in wintertime. The whole family is shot up. My adult daughter called me yesterday. Her cat's stomach is now riddled with cancer. There's nothing to be done. The cat has been with my ex the last 2 years. Anybody know if something similar happened out there?
Okay, here's a reply. My brother is double vaxxed with a booster. His one-year-old puppy came down with parasites and severe paralysis. It was torture. They had to put the puppy to sleep.
I read the top. That's good.
Pharma will provide a needle for anything with blood. And considering animals or pets eat man-made rubbish, all them deaths sound normal. But all at once, that's sus. Sorry to hear. Took me almost 10 years to get over my last dog. Two at once is a bit tough. I'm not a cat person, so I've no remorse for the cat. LOL.
All right. Here's some more. There was a pod. Is it? What is a pod? A podcast?
A podcast.
Or a group of, group of killer whales? All right. Well. All right. There was a podcast about this last week, I think. They said vets are noticing animals are being affected with cancers and things from the jabbed. Sorry, but I can't find where I saw this. Next quote. Our cat got very ill last year when he had been at the house of our jabbed neighbors. Perfectly healthy cat, 8 years old, got cancer. Next tag for that. Thank you. We'll make certain. I have a note of this. Sadly, it's too late for you. Thank you. We'll search for more info regarding this. I am not surprised about the effects on pets, but I hoped I was wrong. I breed dogs, said someone else, and I sold a puppy to a couple that's 3 times jabbed. The puppy had an unusual first heat, then got very sick with pyometria, that's a uterine infection. When they did the spay, the poor dog's ovaries were full of tumors. She was only 9 months old.
Mm.
your pets are at risk if you're vaccinated or if your pets are touched or handled by the vaccinated. Please beware.
Yeah. Yeah.
Go ahead and do the last one real quick.
Okay, so the vax affect different species and similar organs. It's all diabolical. Another one says, back in May, my Labrador retriever came down with what appeared to be heartworm symptoms. We do get exposed to mosquitoes, and this guy was rescued from the street in January 2020. The vet estimated him to be 4 years old at the time. We don't know how long he was on the street, so it's possible it was heartworm. But I've been giving both my dogs ivermectin every 3 to 4 months as parasite control. After evaluating the risks of fast kill and slow kill methods, I decided to put him on a combination of ivermectin and natural remedies to get rid of it. His symptoms are now gone, but I'm easing him gradually back into activities and keeping him on the regimen for 6 months.
Well,
so basically, she doesn't know if his heart issues were heartworm or...
Don't know.
Who knows? But ivermectin seemed to work.
Okay. Here's the point. Your pets are not safe. Your children are not safe. And God help them if they've been vaccinated by anybody. You know what's going on out here better. You, our audience, all around the world, you know probably better than most anyone else what's going on. It's very difficult to tell you not to waste too much time trying to convince people. They will fight with you. They will argue. They will never talk to you again. Your friends will turn their back on you, meaning they were never your friends. Friends don't do that to friends. But just beware. You know things. You have the knowledge base. And you can hear all the programs for free right on the home page over on the right side in the archives. Or you can look under Erica's name on the left. They're all there. And we feel this is the best information we can possibly give you to work with. To make your own decisions. So, there we go. Thanks, kiddo. Talk to you soon.
Okay, my pleasure, Jeff. Have a good weekend, everyone. Good night.
And I agree with that. Enjoy your weekend. Keep these things in mind. Common sense is going to protect a lot of you. Think about it. Take care. We'll talk soon.